Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In today's Bible Adventure, the subject of besetting sins comes into focus. Besetting sins are those sins we try very hard to overcome but may never seem to get complete victory over in our lives. Because every person since Adam and Eve has been born in sin, the enemy of our souls, Satan, continually works within us in the form of our human nature. The bad habits and ungodly practices of our lives before we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior must be subdued by the Word of God and the work of God's Holy Spirit. There is continual spiritual warfare for all those who want to live godly lives. Satan's control shows up in our lives as fear, depression, guilt, condemnation, worry, anxiety, and despair. No doubt there are many more ways that Satan works in people because one person's besetting sin is often different from another's. In short, all these things are works of the flesh which oppose the one true God in heaven. Victory in this ongoing war won't come from human effort either. The harder we try to obtain victory over sin in our own strength, the more defeat we'll face. In fact, the Bible instructs that God places His curse on those who attempt to find their victory over sin outside of Himself. Christ redeemed and purchased us with His sinless blood, not only to free us from just punishment of our sin, but also from the power of sin that works in and through us. Jesus purchased us as one would purchase a slave in a slave market, and He becomes our new master when we become new believers. However, servanthood or slavery to our new master isn't forced. Even after our soul's purchase is made through faith in Jesus' work on our behalf, He allows us to choose for ourselves that we will serve Him willingly. Satan, our enemy, may try to throw us off course by convincing us that we are unworthy to serve the Lord. Our redemption by Christ not only delivers us from the punishment of sin that we deserved, but it also breaks the power and dominion of sin from our lives as well. Sin, on the other hand, weakens all resistance against our dark spiritual enemies, and it turns warriors into weaklings when we're not protected by God's promises and authority. Satan wants us to keep our minds on our sins. He wants us to keep confessing our sins and worrying about them. If he can do that, the enemy knows that we'll remain under a heavy burden of guilt. Then he can steal from us the joy, peace, and confidence that should be ours when we belong to Christ. We confess our sins to the Lord so we may claim His triumphant forgiveness over our wickedness. Thereafter, we mustn't meditate on our sins, but instead we must reflect on Christ's victory over the sin which so easily besets us. Can it be that Satan is overpowering many of God's people because of their hidden sins and/or backsliding? It wasn't a heavy yoke God put on His people to obey and follow Him. In His power and grace, it's simple and easy. We have a choice to make: obey God and be blessed, or disobey Him and suffer. This same message is echoed throughout the New Testament as well. In Romans chapter 8 it says, "To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace." How do you overcome a sin that's become a habit? How do you have victory over a besetting sin that's become part of your life? Most Christians deeply love the Lord and desire to please Him, but they also have to admit, "I have this one problem that keeps me from being totally free." So how does true victory over sin come? It's not enough to be forgiven. You must be free from going back and living in your sin. First of all, each one of us must learn to hunger for holiness and hate our besetting sin. And we must be convinced that God completely loves us in spite of our sin. Secondly, we must accept the loving help of our Heavenly Father in resisting and overcoming our deep-seated sin. This may take considerable time as God works through many interrelated matters and values that He wishes to cleanse and bring to His purity. Thirdly, pray with other godly believers for deliverance over Satan's strongholds and deceptions. using the Word of God in the authority of Christ is also important. Some sins won't be released unless prayer and fasting are first undertaken. Finally, sin within us is conquered and all our dark spiritual enemies must flee. Do you want victory over your enemies? Then follow God's instructions on what you believe, how to protect yourself in His armor, and what His Spirit is instructing you to do. Go at it the right way by dealing savagely with your besetting sin. Remove the revolting thing from your life and replace the time you used to spend on it with new projects that honor the Lord and uplift your soul. Then you'll become mighty in God. In Hebrews chapter 12 it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." It's not hard to work out one of the besetting sins of the Israelite people while they were traveling through the desert on their way to the promised land of Canaan.
And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the pillar of cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran.
Well, I must say Moses has picked a fine site for our new camp.
It's half a mile to the nearest water.
When you get there isn't enough water.
At Sinai, we at least had grass for our cattle.
This is about the worst desert we've been in.
Trust Moses to lead us into it.
What I'd like to know is, when are we going to get to Canaan?
Never, if you ask me.
Well, I've just about had enough.
Me too. If only we'd stayed in Egypt.
I'm sick and tired of living in a tent.
Egypt was paradise compared to this.
And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord.
Hiram's been hit by lightning.
His whole tent's on fire.
Oh, it's the Lord's doing.
God is punishing us.
Oh, there's fire everywhere.
Moses, help us.
Oh, pray to the Lord, Moses, and stop the fire.
Pray for us, Moses. Only you can help us.
Hear the voice of thy servant Moses. I beseech thee, let not thy anger consume the people with fire. Take away the punishment from them. Let the lightning and the thunder cease.
The Lord heard Moses' prayer, and the fire was quenched. But it was not long before the people began once more to complain.
I do wish we had some meat to eat.
I'm sick of this manna.
Manna. Oh, how I hate this stuff.
Remember the fish we had in Egypt?
And those delicious melons and cucumbers. Mm,
what wouldn't I give for a big pot of stew with real meat in it and seasoned with leeks and onions?
Mm.
How about it, Moses? Give us some meat.
We don't want manna. We want meat.
Why don't you help us, Moses?
O Lord, hear the prayer of thy servant Moses. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat.
Say unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. And ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days.
And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and on the other side, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth.
Look at those birds! There must be thousands of them!
Millions of them! Oh, millions!
Now we've got meat!
Meat at last! Oh, I can hardly wait to get my teeth into it.
Roast quail!
Oh, get a sack, quickly. Let's pick up as many of them as we can.
Well, get 2 sacks. Get 3. Why, there's enough quail here to last us for weeks.
More?
Sure. Oh, my stomach.
What's the matter?
My stomach feels as if it's on fire. Oh, if only I hadn't eaten so much.
I'm coming down with a fever, too.
And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the people were smote with a very great plague. And many of those who had murmured loudly against God and who had eaten too greedily of the quail died. And they called that place Kibroth Hatteavah, because there they buried the people who had so strongly desired meat.
In Numbers chapter 11, the Israelites were just 3 days into their journey towards the promised land when they began to complain about their hardships out in the desert. They'd taken their eyes off God, who went before them in a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, as well as their destination. Now you might ask, what's wrong with a little complaining now and then? Everything. The people were demonstrating their lack of gratitude for God's blessings and promises to them. They had a general lack of faith that God knew what was best for them, even when things seemed hard at the time. Underneath, they had a hostile spirit, which grew in time into open rebellion. This bad attitude showed disobedience to the Scripture's repeated commands to praise the Lord and give thanks to Him in all circumstances. People need to learn to be content with how God is leading and positioning them in life. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. The person who truly trusts God will be content with what He provides for them. Discontent, on the other hand, is a sign of unbelief and forgetfulness of an eternal destination with their Father in heaven. Moses was troubled by the weight of his leadership responsibility. On one side, he saw an angry God, and on the other side, a rebelling people. Worn out by the constant demands of leadership and caring for an ungrateful crowd of people, Moses told the Lord that the burden of looking after them was all too great for him. Moses actually asked God that he might die, but the Lord advised him to gather 70 elders of Israel and to bring them to the tabernacle of meeting. While here, God promised to take the Spirit in Moses and put the same Spirit into the 70 leaders so they could help Moses with the work. However, God didn't remove Moses' responsibility. Moses already had appointed judges over the people to help settle disputes, and now he had the extra 70 Spirit-led leaders to assist him. All Israel had to do to maintain the generous blessings of the Lord was to diligently heed the Lord's commandments and to trust Him with all their heart and soul. God promised blessings beyond anything they could imagine if they loved and served Him with all their heart. God had promised the people in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that wherever they went in the promised land, the Lord would cause the people there to fear Him and that no one would be able to stop them. The Lord gave the people the choice between receiving His blessing or curse, a blessing if they obeyed the commands of the Lord, but a curse if they didn't and turned away to worship other gods beside Him. This rebellion against God and a demand for meat by the Israelites while traveling in the desert on their way to Canaan is retold in Psalm 78. It's recorded there that many times the Israelites provoked God and grieved Him. But God held back His anger because He remembered that they were only earthly human beings. This psalm was written to remember the past and to teach future generations not to repeat the sins that their ancestors had committed against their God. Let us teach the same to our children as well.
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.